You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fadis.
John Pryor, the attorney for Chad Daybell, says, "I want out." The judge in the case says, "That's not going to happen." At least that's pretty much what took place in court just the other day, as the request was made to withdraw. However, the judge not having any of it, saying, "You're there. Guess what? You signed up to be Chad Daybell's attorney. We're 3 months out. We're not going to completely retool this thing. You're on. Come hell or high water, whether you get paid or you do not, I don't care. You have stamped your ticket and are in the park. You're on the ride. We're not getting you off." Eric Fadis, attorney, joining me to discuss. Eric, let's talk about some of the merits of the claims that his attorney brought forth the other day, John Pryor. Let's first talk about money. His one of the arguments saying, "Look, Chad, he's got no money to pay me anymore. I'm going to be working for free for many more months, 24 hours a day." And we'll get into the timing in just a moment. But money, first of all, I get it. Everybody needs to get paid. Everyone wants to get paid. Nobody should be working completely for free unless they raise their hand and say, "I'm doing this pro bono," which he did not do. But we're this close. We're this far in. Is that a valid argument to make on that specific one?
You know, many judges would say no. And this judge in the Chad Daybell case said no. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is, the attorney knew Chad Daybell was going to be incarcerated. His ability to generate income is going to be substantially curtailed. He should have seen this going in. And, you know, Daybell's been in custody for quite some time. So I doubt that the attorney is just now learning Chad Daybell can't pay. I imagine Chad Daybell hasn't been able to pay for quite some time. The attorney should have brought that to the court's attention much more promptly than, you know, this close to trial. And I think that's one reason the judge sort of stoked the ire of the judge, and the judge denied it, is that, you know, the money piece, especially this late in the game, is not going to get you off the hook.
Well, it seems like a rather dumb argument to make unless you have nothing else to argue. The other argument being, you know what? This is a capital case. Holy crap. I'm not a capital qualified attorney. How did you not know that one for the last year? I mean, again, seems like an idiotic argument to make because these are all facts of the case, should have been there. This is nothing new. Why suddenly at 3 months go, you know, he really should have somebody who's qualified for a capital case?
My gosh, it would be like, you know, I do criminal defense and personal injury work. It would be like me, you know, getting on some mergers and acquisitions case. And right as like Sprint and T-Mobile or whatever are about to merge, I say, "Oh gosh, wait a second. I actually don't know what I'm doing here, guys. Sorry. You're going to have to let me out." That would be a calamity. And it just seems sort of ineffective and problematic that the attorney didn't see this going in when it was obviously a capital case. Do not take a case that you cannot handle. But it kind of does create a bit of a predicament in the case of potential. Potentially an appealable issue.
Do you think he did that? Do you think he went into a case that he knew he could not win? Or do you think something happened behind the scenes that we're unaware of?
I'm thinking, I don't know for sure, but my apprehension is that he got on this case. It's a high profile case. You're going to get a lot of exposure. You might get a lot of new cases from it. And so that's all helpful if you're a private attorney. But, you know, I'm wondering if he thought, gosh, this case is going to settle at some point. There's going to be a plea offer. His co-defendant's already convicted. They've got the monster who was involved in this incident. You know, let's just turn a deal for my guy and I'll get off of this and I'll get all the acclaim and it'll be great. Well, that's not what's happened. And right now, someone's going to have to answer that bell come the morning of trial. And it looks like it's going to be John Pryor, Chad Daybell's attorney, who can't get off the case.
How much of an appellate issue does this create? Because he did make the arguments, you know, verbally in court of saying, "I am not going to have this ready in time. I'm not going to be prepared. It's impossible. I can't get a second chair. I know there's money for it. I know there's a place. I've been trying to find someone. No one wants to sign up." I mean, does this open up a window then for Chad Daybell, a very clear window at some point of saying that he had ineffective counsel?
You know, it certainly raises that issue. And, you know, when an appellate court is looking at this, if Chad Daybell's convicted and they've got a statement from his attorney saying, "Hey, I'm not good enough to handle, or I don't have the experience to handle a death penalty case. You can't do this to this guy. I'm not going to be able to help him." And they send him to the gallows anyway. Is an appellate court going to look at that and say, "Gosh, did this guy really get a fair shake? Did he really have the effective representation the Constitution requires him to have?"
Yeah.
And that is a significant issue on appeal.
I mean, is this what they're looking at right now? I'm wondering where it's like, "Look, I know I'm not qualified for this, and I thought we were going to go down this road. And at this point, there's nothing else we can do. So let's create appellate issues right now. Like, let's invent them, basically, so that down the road, we're playing the long game here. You can get a different attorney. You can get a different trial. But I've done all I can do right now. So I'm just going to basically tee this up for you come the day that occurs after a conviction of Chad Daybell.
Yeah, there's this idea that sometimes criminal defense attorneys will essentially inject error into the case. They'll try to create appellate issues like you were just mentioning. But let's keep in mind, this isn't a complete get out of prison free card. Even if Chad Daybell's convicted and he is sentenced to death, and there's an appeal on that sentence because the attorney can't do death penalty cases, that may just overturn the death penalty portion, but it likely wouldn't overturn the entire conviction at the guilt phase, at the trial level. And so it's not even a complete out for Chad Daybell, if it's an out at all.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering, is this part of the strategy? We're looking at this going, how dumb can you be? Like, how do you, and I don't think he is. I don't think John Pryor is a dumb man. I'm wondering if this is part of the strategy of flat out, you know, at the end of the day here is simply the goal not to get Chad Daybell the death penalty, but assuming maybe there's no way of making that happen by representing him in court, everything's going to point to him getting the death penalty. But the one way you can get out of the death penalty, you're in prison for the rest of your life. But if we can show and we can say, I wasn't very effective for you, maybe not even get you a new trial, but maybe that will get the death penalty off. This is the way to do it in a very backwards kind of behind the scenes sort of way that has nothing to do with a jury making a decision at all.
Yeah. Is this John Pryor essentially saying, hey, Chad Daybell, I can't save your freedom, but I might be able to spare your life.
Yeah.
And in doing so, I'm going to kind of fall on the sword and, you know, put forth what some people might see as embarrassing comments about my professional capabilities and just hope for the best for you. You know, sometimes when the client is facing years in prison or death, there's a sense of desperation, and that desperation is felt by the attorney. And was that kind of a motivating factor as we get closer to trial, as we see the absence of any defenses that have been disclosed anyway? Very well could be.
Playing the long game, it's going to be, as always, one that I'm sure will continue on for quite some time.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.